patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Creator. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of God is near. Siblings, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Creator.
Nice. That's all that meant. And she did such a nice job. Why not, right? There's the scripture. I love all scripture. I love the Bible. I want you to know that. But sometimes things sound so ominous, like the judge is waiting at the door. Like, it's like God loves you and the judge is waiting at the door. It's like when kids read it, it just feels so much more exacerbated, that juxtaposition. Anyway, in my opinion, because I'm sure you were all wondering what my opinion is on this scripture. That's why you came this morning, right? I don't think it should matter how the farmer waits. Like, whether the farmer is waiting with patience or irritated or anxiously or irately, the precious fruits are going to come from outside the farmer themselves. So practically speaking, we could say that there is a necessity for patience, right? If you're impatient, you tend to mess with things because you're worried and you want to get things going. So I was trying to think of examples, and here are a couple. Like, anybody who's ever plucked their eyebrows for the first time, like, it's really hard to know when to stop, right? Or I'm guessing that happens with beards. I don't know. Maybe. It happens with houseplants. Has anybody way overwatered your houseplants? Or way cut them back too much so that there was like actually nothing really left and it took them like a year to recover. When I started with houseplants, it was during COVID, and so it's just like an invitation to water too much because you have nothing to do and you're anxious. Our whole house was filled with flies, those flies that like come because you're overwatering. So in the scripture, I think waiting patiently isn't really a threat. It's like a, hey, I've been through this before. Like, don't pluck all your eyebrows out. You don't want your house filled with flies. Like, just take a chill pill, sit down, and let the garden grow. Which is hard to do, because when we're talking about faith, the whole idea of faith is that we don't know what's been planted. Like, we know that we're all here together in this kind of messy, a little bit anxiety-provoking, but very exciting transition, because God has already gone ahead of us and planted something. But there was no seed packet that came with it. Like, was it planted deep enough or too deep? Like, how much water and sun is it going to need? When is the germination date going to take place? Like, it's really hard to plan without a seed packet. And all of the things that God plans don't ever seem to come with that. And I don't like that. I'm just going to be honest. I feel like you guys are probably experienced and fine with it and able to just like let things go and let things be, and it's all good. But I'm just not that type of person. Like, I wondered where the email is that told me exactly what we're supposed to be doing so that we could put it all in order. And that makes sense because I'm an elder. And in the United Methodist Church, what is the job of the elder? To order things. But we're in this faith where we don't really know exactly all the time what there is to order because we're not sure what God has planted. And so today in our scripture, I don't want us to hear the threat of the judge waiting at the door, but like more understand that God's saying, hey, if you can just be patient, if you can just trust in something that you didn't plant to grow in the time that I think it should grow, it's all going to be okay. This requires a PhD in patience as a virtue. And the nice part about the PhD in patience as a virtue is it's a tuition-free program. It's like a pace yourself program. And I'm glad about that because I'm probably far behind in it. And I realized that this week, many moments, but also when I was preparing this sermon, it's like when you prepare sermons, you sort of realize all the things that are wrong with you, how controlling you are, how much you need to know what that seed is, both in your personal life, your professional life, in the communities that you belong to, and how hard it is, how vulnerable it makes you to not know that. Obviously, we are not going to leave well enough alone all the time. We are going to mess with it. And I blame God for that because our brains were created with the need to solve problems. So there's something to it. We're supposed to be doing something. But in this scripture, if we read the whole passage, and you're welcome to do that on your free time whenever you want to, we realize that the problems that we are supposed to fix, the ways our brains are set up, can work against us if we think about it the wrong way. If we think about it where it's, we're trying to make sure that what God has already started happens. Like, we don't need to do that. What we're really trying to do in this whole picture of James is take care of each other while it happens. Love each other while it happens. And what do we see happen when we're impatient? Well, I won't speak for you. I wish my husband was in town because this is the part of the sermon where he could take over and tell you at our house what happens when we become impatient. Well, when I become impatient. Monica sent me a YouTube video this week on how to make the scanner on the Xerox machine work, and I came over and I said, oh, John needs to come talk to you because I don't have the patience to watch the YouTube video. I just want it to work. Can't it just work? Do we have to learn how to make it work? Yes. But what we're trying to learn how to make work isn't what God has planted so that it will grow. That's going to happen no matter how much we mess with it. What we're trying to make work is our relationships with each other. Our patience with other people's impatience. And one of the things that's really kind of jolted me this week is something that Rich said, who's on leadership council and is a lawyer, but wants everybody to know, we all need to know, that he's not going to be practicing law anymore. So if you are a lawyer in this congregation, Rich would like to invite you to come talk with me to be the lawyer. That's my plug for that. Do you like how I work that into the sermon? One of the things that Rich said was, as a lawyer, he has been trained to think of his client's interests. So, like, no matter what is going on, his job, his loyalty is to his client. So maybe in the big picture, this is what something looks like, right? Like, there are all these different factors. But his job is to see it from one perspective. And I realize that that is so similar to how I feel as a pastor. When all of the development at the land was happening, my first thought and the first thing I said when I met with my construction friends and my developer friends was, my people need this. My people are this way. They're going to want it that way. My job as a pastor is to represent you, to love you. And part of that with this transition has been coming in and trying to keep everything the same so that you didn't feel the weight of the grief of losing a pastor who loved you and was so worthy of your love. And I tried to, and will keep trying to do that, to lessen that weight. I will definitely keep the one board structure. I'm definitely going to keep the two services for multiple reasons, partially because of COVID, partially because if we want to reach new families, we need many options, partially because it's the good work that Brad did with all of you, and why undo that in the first few months when I don't even know what it took to build that? But then there's the other side of things, the reality that I'm just not Brad. And I don't want to be Brad, and you don't want me to be Brad, but I want to keep things just like you had them with Brad. And this week I realized that it's not completely up to me. that I can walk into each and every business in the surrounding area and be my lovely self and expect that everyone's gonna love me and greet me and be so happy to see me, and that may or may not happen. But that what I have to do, what we have to do together, is expect that we have done good enough work in this community that we deserve people to be patient with us now. That it's going to take us a little while to figure out all of these intricacies. That we want to keep everything that's been built, but that the pieces might have to move a little bit so that I can keep holding them up with you. That when people see me, I look different. I don't look like Brad. And that changes things. And I don't sound like Brad, and I definitely don't have the confidence that Brad has. And I love Brad, and I want to be more like the Obi Kenobi One Brad. But I'm the worry Stephanie. I'm the anxiously packed, always on my toes, wondering about the what ifs. And it's different, but it's also what makes me a good pastor. I will think about everything that could go wrong, and I will plan for it. But the scripture isn't about planning for what could go wrong. It's not about controlling in the sense of seeking an objective and then making sure we do everything to eliminate the possibilities of what could go wrong. The scripture is about the work of belonging. The work of realizing that no matter what goes wrong, God has put us together because we can handle whatever we are going to face, good, bad, or indifferent. God has planted something. And in 21 days, I wish that it had grown a little faster. I had expected to meet everybody that lives everywhere in the neighborhood, to be Nora's emergency contact at Nina B's, to have a thriving garden in the backyard. And instead, I can tell you this week, we did get the scanner hooked up to my computer. I can definitely get the office door opened on my third try. And I pretty much know how to drive to the grocery store without causing a car accident. On Thursday, I drove back to Centennial to take my dog to the vet. And all of a sudden, I felt like I wanted to stay there. I didn't want to leave. I don't even like that place, I'll be honest with you. I love it here so much more. But it is so nice knowing how the roads work and knowing where the streets are, knowing where your friends live, knowing who the person at Walgreens is. To know and to belong, it means everything. And when something shifts and changes and we don't know what's planted or when it's going to rain or when the sun's going to come out, that's what holds us together. Knowing that even though everything else is shifting, knowing that even though everything feels a little bit scary, we have each other to remind us where we are and why we belong there. Amen.